We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome into That Football Show, presented by Holiday Bourbon and Ben Holiday, bottled in Bob Bourbon. Make sure you go check them out at Holiday Distillery. We'll be at a Holiday Distillery for our draft coverage. As I said, this is That Football Show. Matt Verderam, Tucker Franklin here. Day before the draft is when we're recording it. You could be listening to this 5 years from now, I guess. It's a magic of podcast. But
it's a failure on your part if you're doing that. Fair enough.
That is true. If you're listening to a podcast the day before the 2024 draft in the year 2029, sorry about that, buddy. Matt, how are you doing? How's draft week?
Good. I'm good. I'm excited for the draft. We're, like you said, recording this on a Wednesday, so we are embarking, or we're about, when we're recording this, about 34 hours or so away from the start of the draft. So, good. Waiting to see if there's any, like, trade, with teams trying to move into top three, top four. But yeah, man. Just excited to get excited for the mock drafts to stop and the actual draft to start.
I've been fatigued more than, and we had a conversation, I think it was a couple weeks ago, about mock drafts. I've been fatigued more than normal about the mock draft conversations, everything like that. But for the NFL draft, we'll get you covered here at KCSN. We're going to be live on Thursday. We'll be live on Friday. We'll be live on Saturday. And guess what? We're even going to be live on Sunday doing a recap show. Thursday, we'll be going live at 6:30 to kick off round one. Rounds two and three will be live at 5:30 p.m. These times are obviously in Central Time. And Saturday, we'll be live at 10:30 with an 11 a.m. recap show on Sunday. That is going to kind of be the kickoff prior to our spring tailgate that we're going to be having at Holiday Distillery. Make sure to go check out the KCS socials. Links in the description as well of the podcast of how you can RSVP to attend that event. We'll have games, we'll have food, we'll have obviously drinks. There'll be things, all kinds of things you can do out there at Holiday Distillery. Very excited for everything we got going on there for draft week. We also have the Trez Paler raffle going on as well. Make sure to check that out. That's also on KCSN socials. You can win a lot of great prizes. $10 a ticket. You can get Nick Bolton signed jersey, Derek Johnson signed jersey, Trent McDuffie signed football, a Royals prize pack. They're back. They just won another baseball game. Who would have thought they would be fun to watch again? But go check them out. $10 per entry. You can Venmo the KC Sports Network Foundation. We'll announce the winners live on Sunday. So that is the housekeeping that I needed to take care of, Matt. I appreciate you sitting through there as I promote everything we're doing.
Other than that, we've got nothing going on this week. By the way, so all that stuff's great, and I am so happy to be a part of all this. I think the Therese Paler stuff in particular, having known him when he was alive, such a wonderful person. It's such a nice thing to see, like, the generosity of his spirit kind of living on through him with that kind of stuff. And, that's something, that really, if you have, 20 extra bucks and you want to have a couple raffle tickets, whether you win something or not, it's worth contributing. I certainly plan to. And I will not be accepting anything if I win it. We'll redraw it. It'd be a donation. Pretty sure there's laws against that. There should be if there's not. As far as the draft goes, I'll tell you, it's actually funny. I've been thinking about this. Thursday is going to be a really interesting night for me. So on Thursday, I'm obviously covering the draft for Sports Illustrated. I'm doing these like instant grades and favorite picks and least favorite picks. So I'm doing a lot of meat and potato stuff. And Connor Orr is going to be doing a couple of columns. And then Albert Breer is going to be doing the, you know, the top line stuff that like, you know, three people in the country could do because he has more access than anybody I've ever met. And so, you know, I'll be handling all the grunt work, so to speak, which, you know, listen, that's fine by me. But the point is, as the NFL draft's going on, the Knicks are playing the 76ers in game three. And I have debated a thousand ways how I'm going to handle this. And I finally decided I'm going to record the Knicks 76ers game and do everything in my power to avoid the score. I don't know how it's going to happen because I follow more than a few things on Twitter about the Knicks. And I feel like that's going to be really tough. But I might try to do the draft without being on Twitter. And yeah.
Wow.
And have like the NFL network feed because I know they want the NBA scores on the bottom. And that's going to be in it. And then I'm going to have the draft and then any media obligations I have right after the draft. And then at about probably 11 Central, I'm going to put up my feet and I'm going to turn the Knicks game on. And if we're here till 1:30, we're here till 1:30. That's what it's going to be. So I'm so thankful they won game two because at least now if they lose game three, like it sucks, but okay, fine. They're not, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Had they have lost game two, I would have been in the panic room the entirety of the NFL draft. So shout out to the Sixers for just choking like dogs in game two. And I don't want to hear one more person about Dell. It was a foul. Hey, look. I lived through the Reggie Miller 8 points in 9 seconds game, okay? You want to see a foul? Go watch Reggie Miller assault Greg Anthony as the ball's coming in. I don't care. Looked like a good, clean play to me, boys. Put it on the books. Through zip. I am very thankful that the Knicks won that game. I don't know how I didn't handle it Thursday night.
That is always the dilemma, too. I sent a message to our group chat, and I said, Are we upset we're missing Friday Night SmackDown for the draft? We're missing a week of Friday Night SmackDown. Look, it's also WWE drafts is this week. They're doing their own draft to the different shows.
They have a draft.
They do. They draft them to the different like branch.
I had no idea.
I think they started last year.
Okay.
And actually, I'll be at the Monday Night Raw in Kansas City. That's on Monday.
Nice.
And they're doing the Raw draft that night. So, like, I just can't get enough of drafts, apparently. But, Matt, one thing I did want to talk about, I've been asking a lot of people because I feel like, for me personally, it feels like it's weird it's draft week. I don't know if it's because we're coming off the high of it being in Kansas City. We were so deep into the minutia details of everything that was going on with the NFL draft that now that it's not in Kansas City, that we feel like we're out of it, that we don't know what's going on. But I also feel like Detroit hasn't done a huge push, truthfully, for them hosting the draft. I don't know if you feel the same, but it just feels weird that like we're already at the draft.
It does. It does feel weird. I feel like it's here quicker than normal. Now, part of that is maybe because it is like April 25th. It's usually like halfway to a week earlier. That being said, I would sign for the draft on March 25th. Like, the worst part of the offseason, in my opinion, is the part of the offseason where we spend copious amounts of time going, what do you think? What if this scenario plays out? And then it's like 100 different scenarios. And I know there are people out there who are like, shut up, Verram, it's fun. I get that. I respect that. I'm glad for you that it's fun. For me, it is literal hell on earth, where I do a radio spot, and they're like, well, what if Marvin Harrison falls to 27? Then what? I mean, well, that's not going to happen. But what if it did? I mean, okay, but it's not. So I do feel, though, to your point, Tucker, I do feel like it is here faster than normal. I feel like I woke up on Monday and distinctly was like, man, it's going to be 3 days from now? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. But that also means, hey, full-blown spring is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work in football, I got to tell you, when it's pencils down on Saturday afternoon, I'm having like three beers immediately.
Oh, yeah.
because I'm essentially done until we get to training camp. Yeah, sure. Listen, I'll still be doing all the media stuff. Still be here every week. Still be doing some other stuff all the time. That's all not, none of that's changing. But in terms of like keeping up on everything around the league day in and day out, it's over until like July 20th. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yep, that is huge. June is one of those months where it's just like, wow, there's really nothing going on. It's great because in a sport that has made itself a 24/7, specifically the Chiefs have made themselves a 24/7 with the time of the day that they're breaking their news, and 365 day event, they make everything their scheduled release is a live programming event. There. Draft is a live programming event. I mean, it's all, they do a good job at making money.
What is the most mundane thing that the NFL can make a live TV event and make money off? What share is money off?
I would say owners meetings, but I think they already do that, right? Don't they have like broadcasts from the owners meetings?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I personally enjoy when training camps open up. Like, obviously, there's staggered starts, so like not every team opens up the same day.
Right.
But like, there's usually a day where it's like 20 teams or something like show up to camp, and they'll do like training camp live on NFL Network, and it's literally just 4 hours of guys stretching on a loop. And you're like, how in God's name are people watching this? Like, what are we? But I like, for me, I'm sure a lot of people would have like years ago said the schedule probably.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge nerd and love the schedule release. Like for Sports Illustrated, I did this last year. I'll do it this year. I sit there all day at the day of the release, and it's always like a night that gets released.
Yeah.
I compile every single leak. I try to leak things. Like, I'll sit there and bother some GM that I know and be, hey, who are you playing week 15? And like every once in a while, they'll be like, Burham, shut up. Here it is. And like, don't leak it. And I'll be like, sitting there, and then I'm like, all right. And then I'm like, can I leak like two of these games? Like, yeah, all right, fine. You know, every once in a while, I'll just annoy somebody to the point. Fine, whatever. I really, my brand's got to get strong enough where they just send it to me in the morning. Don't even bother me. Here it is.
Yeah.
But
you can have these two. You can leak those two.
Yeah, right. It just give me all. You know what it should be? Because these are not the same things. Like, the preseason schedule, like doing a preseason schedule show where it's like week two of the preseason, Falcons cards. You know, like that would be, and I think people would watch it. I really think, you know, like I want the NFL to finally get to a point where they're like, all right, we're that's too far. We've crossed the bridge. Compensatory pick selection show. People would watch that.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if they were like, look, here it comes. Compensatory picks. You're going to announce them. You're going to have Goodell in his basement, COVID style, you know, like a fireside chat with Raj. You know, like, people would 1,000% watch this crap. They would. They would say, yeah, I'm in. Let's do this.
Kim would be the first person on that stream, too, because he loves the compensatory pick formula. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. He's like, oh, that's a compensatory pick. That'll be a okay, that's great. Cool. I don't get it. I
sitting there like a monocle on a slide rule, just, you know. Oh, it's a fifth rounder. The funny thing is nobody knows the actual formula.
No.
And I'm pretty sure that's because the NFL doesn't know the formula. It's all like, oh shit. We gotta release those. All right. Hey, Bobby, what do you think? Like, who'd they lose? Some guy with 38 tackles and 4 sacks last year. Sounds like a sixth rounder. Like, I feel like that's about what they do with the league office. Like, they'll never convince me they actually have a formula because it would have been a league 10 years ago.
Just Bobby in the back who they ask. It's all.
Sounds like some guy in the mail room.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, you like football. What do you think? Again, I don't know.
Didn't they change it like two times? Like, I think they changed, like, they're like, oh, our formula was wrong this time. And then they changed it again.
There's no formula. I am convinced there's no formula. I would be so down for like Goodell doing like a fireside chat with those. But go, Niners got four more of them. You know, but like, that'd be great. You know what would really be awesome? It would never happen for a million reasons. If instead of like all the leaks of free agency happening on Twitter with like Schefter and Rappaport.
Right.
If the NFL was able to contain it and Goodell just like went to a podium and announced the deals. And you just said, and it was like Kirk Cousins deals, but also like Irv Smith Jr. So you never knew how big the deal was. And it was like everybody's just, it's like the Joe Rogan gif where like he's at the table at the UFC fight and everybody's going nuts. Like everybody would just be like, oh my God, all right, Goodell. Like all it is it's just a one shot of Goodell at a podium.
Yeah.
And there's no commentary, nothing. It's like watching the Yule log, you know? But then every once in a while, Goodell pops on. Everybody's, oh my God, everybody, shut the fuck up. Goodell's on. And then it's just, and then it's like 1 year, $2 million, Irv Smith to the Chiefs. And we sat here for an hour for that. You know? But then he comes back and says, like, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. It'd be unbelievable. It'd be bedlam.
Wow. No, I think that would be phenomenal. And that would be must-see TV. Instead of just like refreshing Twitter all day, you could just sit on the same channel.
The amount of money the NFL could get for sponsorship.
Pay-per-view.
Just think of pay-per-view for sure. But like, think about like if Goodell was like, this signing by the Atlanta Falcons is sponsored by Doritos. Doritos, the tasty you can, you know, and like 4 years, $160 million, Kirk Cousins. And then like, if it's a really like, if it's like an Irv Smith signing, let's continue to back on Irv Smith. But like, if it's an Irv Smith signing, it's like sponsored by, yeah, I don't know, like just, you know, some mom and pop, like, you know, hot dog stand. The sponsorship ranges based on how much the contract's for.
That's true. Yeah, that's good.
It'd be amazing. And then you have to have somebody on because, like, what about those, like those 3 a.m. signings? So, like, you're not going to have Goodell on for, like, when Chris Jones signed at 10 o'clock and then when I was down at freaking, I was at a dinner with my wife and had to basically run out of the restaurant. Like, so you're not going to have Goodell. So then you have to have, like, his second in command. Maybe it's, like, a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, listen, Brody, you know, you're on from 7 to 7. It's all you. You're running the night shift.
It's true, like, yeah.
Get him out of bed at 2:30 a.m. Yeah. Like, hey, Bengals just signed, you know, Nick Scott. You know, 1 year, $3 million. I don't care if you need sleep. Because Nick Scott, that's been sponsored by Clorox. Like, the unbelievable, it'd be incredible. You'd have it on in the back. You'd be sleeping in your office just to make sure you don't miss anything. Had the volume on like 90.
And then it's like the draft music. Dum, 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 ba-da-dum, dum, dum. Every time he goes to the podium.
Vic Pavlov's dog by the end of that week.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God, who the hell got drafted? You know, who's signing? What's going on here? Hey, honey, I can't come upstairs. I heard that there might be something happening at 3 a.m.
It was like when Sammy Watkins signed his contract. Was it contract extension? Yeah. He did it. And I remember waking up and looking at my phone and being like, wait, what happened?
It would be such a great bit, too. Because then, like, if you're like a huge star, you could be like, yeah, I'm doing it at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could do it at 4 a.m. and just see. Like, you have Schefter and Rappaport just chugging Red Bulls day and night. You know? Just trying to call out information 30 seconds before anybody else does. Like, I'm awake. I'm telling you, the NFL's missing a golden opportunity.
Please hire us. We're available for our idea. Our ideas are...
Yes.
Look, they got to pay us for them, though. They can't just take them. Those aren't for free.
That's right. We need a percentage of the Doritos / Clorox / you know...
Nathan's Hot Dogs.
Mom and Papa's, you know, barbecue stand. Yeah, we need a cut.
I think it's only fair. Speaking of teams that like to make news outside of normal business hours, the Kansas City Chiefs did another move on Monday. They extended their big three of Mark Donovan and Brett Veach, Andy Reid. That happened at 7 p.m. on a Monday night, Matt. But I want to get your thoughts on that after this quick break.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So the Chiefs refused to do anything in normal business hours, Matt. You mentioned already the Chris Jones signing coming in at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. Yeah. I believe that was a Sunday night when that happened. Saturday. It might have been a Saturday night.
It was a Saturday night.
Saturday night, 10 p.m. that one happened. I believe they had a couple of other moves that came in the wee hours. Mike Dana's re-signing was at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
They did a Carson Wentz signing kind of a bit later. To the Chiefs' credit, to be fair, those are probably agents leaking that. Could be a little bit of both. But the Chiefs announced this from their own social media account at 7 p.m. on a Monday night, Matt, extending the big three. Thoughts on this and thoughts on just everything surrounding Andy Reid's extension to 2029?
Listen, first of all, if you're a Chiefs fan, that's great news.
Yeah.
Like I started thinking about it the second I saw the news. I'm like, God, that's like six more seasons.
Yeah.
Andy just locking it. Andy's taking the money. Andy needs
$18 million is what was reported.
Yeah, $18 million. Good for Andy. Man needs a Brinks truck.
That's a Sammy Watkins contract.
Yeah. That's right. I think it's great. I mean, obviously the man deserves it. Brett Veach deserves it. Mark Donovan, yeah, sure. What the hell deserves it? You know, it's involved. No, I think it's great. If you're the Chiefs, that's, you know, I mean, if Andy fulfills that contract, he's here on Mahomes is 35 years old.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the news there, isn't it? I mean, yeah, Brett's such a young guy. Brett's in his mid-40s.
Right.
So, yeah, Brett could be the GM for 20 more years if he wants. I mean, now Brett also could say, yeah, screw this. I'm done after 10 more years. If I'm Brett, I'm having a joint retirement presser with Mahomes.
Yeah.
Like we're going out together. I think like for Andy, so he just turned 66.
Right.
So by the end of the 2029 season, if I'm doing the math right in my head, which is a big if, he'd be 71. It's like crazy. I mean, that's what Belichick was at the end of the last season.
Yeah.
Like it's not like that's nuts. I mean, the biggest thing for me is, you know, Andy's health is holding up, stuff like that. I mean, you say it about anybody who's, you know, in their mid 60s on.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, you know, if he's held, like if you're Andy Reid, why would you retire? And this has been my argument forever. While there have been constant, never-ending reports out of certain areas of the country, like, could be it. This might be Andy's last play call in Kansas City. I mean, it was like week 8. Sure, okay, yeah, maybe, I guess. You know, sure, you say it enough, eventually be right. But, like, the point is, I've never once heard that Andy's going to walk away. It doesn't mean that maybe at some point in time, maybe he didn't contemplate it. I mean, he's human, but, like, I've never heard that. At all times I've checked in inside that building, I've never heard somebody say, yeah, Andy looks like he's probably done after this year. Andy's pretty tired. Or Andy's really kind of running low on gas. And the other thing you hear about Andy all the time, and this is not just him, but there certainly varies coach to coach. Football is the guy, is his life. I mean, obviously, yeah, family stuff. But, like, there are other people who, like, there are coaches in the league who, as much as they love football, I think of other things that they're interested in. Maybe doing TV work. Maybe, you know, maybe it's something where they look at it and go, hey, you know what? Like, I have other interests. You know, kind of like Andrew Luck as a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of other interests outside football. What is Andy going to retire and do? You know, like, more commercials? I don't know. Like, it just doesn't. Andy, pretty famously, is like the first guy in the building all the time. And, you know, there all day. And, you know, his children are adults at this point. So, like, he has a young family. I mean, he's in his 60s. So, like, if you're Andy, you were waiting your whole life to find Patrick Mahomes. And also, not for nothing, if he coaches for 6 years, he might break the all-time wins record.
For sure.
So, I mean, all that's in play. And if you're Andy, if you coach 6 more years with Patrick Mahomes, you win 2 more Super Bowls, 3 more Super Bowls. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's certainly possible. So, yeah, I think it's great. And I think, you know, it's incredible news for the Chiefs and for Mahomes.
I do think that there was a little bit of maybe uneasiness after the Patrick Mahomes restructure last year would have, I think, the potential output at the end of both of what would have been Kelce and Reed's final year. So people were uneasy, right, about Mahomes and Reed and Kelce all having a potential out in the same year. Makes sense, right? Like, that, I saw that and I was like, that feels weird to me. I don't love that as a Chiefs fan, obviously wanting those three guys to be in Kansas City for as long as humanly possible. But I do think one of my first reactions to Andy Reid being extended to 2029 was, okay, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to go anywhere. Because I do think that, like, as much as we don't really want to talk about it, Andy Reid leaves, like, Patrick Mahomes probably still has a lot of say and control over what the Chiefs do, and the Chiefs would probably roll out the red carpet even more for Patrick Mahomes in that sense. But, I mean, the opportunity is at least there. Now, I don't really know if there's a big opportunity for Patrick Mahomes to go elsewhere. I know that's not a conversation people want to have. I know it's not very popular to talk about it. But I think that this, what to me, what stood out is, like, 2029, that, as you mentioned off the top there, Matt, that keeps Mahomes until age 35, I think is what you said. So that's a big plus there. And, like, if I'm looking at his contract right now in Spotrac, which is insane, by the way, but, like, he has potential outs in 2031 and 2030. I think that his contract runs till 2033 right now. He would be a potential UFA in 2032 with a player option in 2033. This is what it looks like. So, I mean, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to go anywhere. I just want that on the record. I want the record to reflect that I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going anywhere, but I think the Andy Reid extension solidifies that even more.
I think also now Kelce's like, can I play till 40? Maybe. Maybe we can get it done. But no, I think it's great. And look, Mahomes, I've never wanted to sit here and say, like, a guy's definitely going to retire with a certain team, beginning with Tom Brady.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think, here's my bold prediction. He will retire and immediately become a part of another team.
I like that.
I think he will have, and I'm not saying he's going to make 50-50 with Clark, okay? Right. But I'm saying, like, I think he'll have, like, 5% of the team or something.
Yeah.
Because he's, one thing I'll say about Patrick Mahomes that is very unique, he is invested in the city of Kansas City in a way that I can't think of any other athlete.
Yeah.
That's ever done that in his city. Like, he's not from Kansas City. It's not like he's like some hometown kid who, like, made good. He's from Texas. And he took a lot of that money. I mean, look at the Casey Current. you know, he and his wife, obviously give Brittany credit too here, but like, look at Casey Curran. Look at that stadium. Like, that's it's not there if the Mahomeses don't exist. Like,
right. it,
you know, he bought into the Royals, who, by the way, now are shocking the world because I'm pretty sure Mahomes is involved. Like, the man brought Whataburger to Kansas.
Yes.
And I would not be at all surprised if at some point he brings the NBA back. Like, he's a huge reason the NBA came back to Kansas. You know, or an NHL team. Like, I mean, he was at St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup games with Kelsey.
It's true, yeah.
So, like, he's invested in Kansas City in a way that most athletes just do not invest in their own. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's like if Brady bought a piece of the Red Sox. You know, like, it's crazy. So I would not be surprised at the end of his career if he's like, yeah, you know, listen, play it out, retire, and then, you know, give me, you know, whatever. I'll get, you know, a handful of percentage points in the team. Like, yeah, you're Clark Hunt. I tell you, it wouldn't be the worst thing business wise to give him, you know, 3%, 5% and have him just around the team all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't hurt, but
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for it. I do think that the Mark Donovan, I don't want to say slander because I don't think it's slander, but the jokes have been getting off about Mark Donovan in the announcement of the big three, right? You've seen the dragon meme with the two mean dragons and the one silly looking dragon in this one. Look, Mark Donovan's. He's the one that's been around the longest out of these three. He's been here since 2009, I think. He brought Andy to Kansas City as a part of the group that brought Andy to Kansas City. There'd be no Brett Veach without Andy Reid, so therefore, you would have no Brett Veach and Andy Reid without Mark Donovan. So, look, I think people's last impression of Mark Donovan is a concession speech and a vote. And I think that somewhat plays into what people think and are making jokes of now when it comes to the big three. But look, I think it's great to have that whole core locked down for the long term. Like, you can't go wrong with just continuity in terms of your front office and really for your whole team. 'Cause that's what teams are striving for, is continuity. And if you have it, you don't want to let it go. And the Chiefs are doing their best not to let that go. Another team, Matt, that is striving for continuity that has not found one since Peyton Manning was their quarterback, and they're still trying to find a quarterback as the Jets traded traded Zach Wilson to Denver with a late round pick swap. Is he their starting quarterback now?
No. Somehow, no, I don't think so. I think Jarrett Stidham remains locked in as the number one starter.
That is wild to me.
Is that the saddest quarterback battle in NFL history?
Yes, it has to be.
It might only rival when Mark Sanchez was in Denver and he battled with Paxton Lynch.
That's true. Didn't Nathan Peterman have a quarterback battle, though, with the Bears for a little bit? Ethan Peterman sucks.
I might have to write this as a column for SI to really piss off everybody in Denver. Is this like what has happened to them? You know, when I was a kid, you know, the Broncos hated them with a passion because of Elway, who used to rip my heart out as a young boy. And then they had like a couple of years there where like Brian Griese was involved, which would have been great, except the Chiefs also sucked. And then Jake Plummer showed up.
Yep.
And it was like right in the color, right in the Manning. Like, they always had at least competent quarterback play. And now it's just, man, it is like a cornucopia of garbage. Just one hideous. I mean, we can play a fun game. We got a minute. This would be fun. Listeners, you can play along here. So I'm going to go over to the old Wikipedia and I'm going to pull up a page called Denver Broncos Starting Quarterbacks. And I'm going to ask, Mr. Franklin if he can name. All right, so I'm going to start out with the year that they won the Super Bowl against Carolina.
Okay.
So including that year, they have had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's make sure I'm not counting it twice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different starting quarterbacks. How many can you name?
Okay, Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
Trevor Siemian.
Yep.
boy, it starts to get real dark real quick. It gets real dark real quick. Those are the first three off the top of my head.
I mean, keep in mind the Super Bowl year, so I'm giving you a...
So Peyton Manning.
Yes, four.
Right. So I got four. You said there's 13?
13.
Lord.
Powell is not Mark Sanchez.
They had Paxton Lynch for a little bit.
Yeah, there's five. That means
gosh, I feel like they had a couple journeymen there for a minute.
A couple, to say kindly. It's unbelievable.
And I think I'm fresh out. I don't know if I got any more.
Here's who we got. I'll just run them right down in order. Peyton Manning, Brock yep. Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. Those are the four you got.
Yep.
Case Keenum, the other guy you got.
Case Keenum.
Joe Flacco. Drew Locke. Brandon Ennelin.
Drew Locke. That's a blasphemy of me.
18 starts. No, 21 starts for Drew Locke.
Golly.
Okay. Who's leading the pack since 2015. Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll.
I don't know who Brandon Allen is.
No, near his family. Brett Rippian. Or Brett Rippian, I should say. Teddy Bridgewater, first season.
Really?
Yes. 2021. And Jared Stidham.
Jared Stidham, that's
right. I mean, the only thing worse than that list are their new uniforms.
They're bad, dude. How do you spend 2 years researching uniforms? I saw they listened to 10,000 people. That was probably a wrong choice to listen to 10,000 people. That's too many people. And you come up with triangles. That's what you come up with. We need to add triangles to the UTEP's uniforms and then pass them off as the Denver Broncos. White helmet, cool, though. White helmet's cool.
Dude, see, I'm down on all of it. Like the helmet, the pants, like they're all like, you know, they're all like the Oregon, like, yo, we have combinations on combinations. Like, it's not good. Like, you should have a couple combinations that look good enough. You don't have to have 19 combinations. Like, there's one combination where they have a white helmet, a blue jersey, and orange pants.
Yeah, that one's bad. I'm looking at that one right now.
What the fuck are you doing? Like, wear a uniform. And then what kills me is all these things look like shit. And then they're like an hour later or whatever it was, 20 minutes later, not even an hour later. They're like, hey, by the way, here are these throwbacks we're going to wear occasionally. And you're like, just wear those. They're perfect. They're beautiful uniforms.
Yeah.
Hate the Broncos all you want, but like that old school uniform was perfect. You know, that classic, like the D on the helmet with the horse coming through the letter and the color scheme. It was perfect. And the Broncos were like, we're going to wear these once a year to remind you how shitty the rest of our uniforms are. Otherwise, we're going to look like UTEP for 16 weeks. But hey, we're going to look real good for 1 week. If I was Patrick Surtain, I would have demanded a trade the second I saw a uniform.
It's a good thing that Patrick Surtain is the only picture. Well, that's not true. I'm looking at one with him.
He's in the throwback.
He's in the throwback as though it's
probably demanded.
He's like, I'm not wearing those. And they picked up his fifth-year option, I believe, like 15 minutes after this was released. And they also traded. They also announced the Zach Wilson trade, like right after this, the uniforms were announced. We're like, we have to bury this. We have to bury the announcement.
Oh my God,
let's pick up the option.
Can you imagine? You're a Broncos fan.
And I can't imagine that. Sorry.
Right. You're already in deep pain. but you have enough sense to go to when you're like, all right, you're like, you see the jerseys, you're like, I got a drink. I can't take this anymore. So you have enough sense to go to Holiday, get Holiday bourbon, right? And so you've at least made a good choice there. But now you're chugging the bourbon, and then you see it scroll across the TV or in this day and age, more likely to get a notification on your phone. You've just acquired Zach Wilson. Like, at that point, do you do one giant pull that just you go to blackout town? Like, what? How do you end that afternoon? Or like, which bit of news was worse? That you're going to have a quarterback competition that includes Zach Wilson or the jersey. And lastly, last quick thought here on Denver. There's been a ton of smoke since I was down at the Senior Bowl about them and Bo Nix, that this is a year that won't end. I look forward to the they take Bo Nix and everybody's like, they're back. And then it's like August 9th and you get that murky report from like KOA out in Denver that's like, hey, listen. Zach Wilson might win this quarterback competition. But it's not bad news because he's just a rookie and it's okay and it's not a big deal and that's totally normal. But he can't beat out Zach Wilson. That's when the liquor sales go up big time in the Mile High City. Like, that's where the concern starts to set in.
I need to look this up. I was about to rip a joke that Bo Nix is the same age as Zach Wilson, but I don't know if they're actually far off.
So Bo Nix is 24.
Yes, and Zach Wilson is 24 as well. They are the same age.
So Zach Wilson, 24, turns 25.
August 3rd of 99 as well. So yeah, so wow, they are not very far apart at all.
Bo Nix?
He's 2000. I was when...
We're talking 6 months here.
Yeah. Pretty damn close to 6 months. Apart. That is insane. One of those guys is going into his fourth year, right? This is Zach Wilson's fourth year?
Yes. And then Jared Stidham just chilling at 27 years old.
Shout out Jared Stidham, man. I mean, he's going to be the one that wins that quarterback job if they do draft Bo Nix. You know, it's going to be one of the things.
I can't wait for the story out of Denver that we all know is coming in August if they do this, where it's like, hey, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's not supposed to beat out Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham, you know? I'll never forget. I'll never forget when Paxton Lynch was drafted by Denver.
Right.
And all these reports come out. This is way Friday inside sources. I was just writing at the time. I think I was on Arrowhead Addict over at Fanside. And the Chiefs that year were rumored by a million different people, insiders, like they were trying to trade up for Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
They in Dallas. And John Elway was like, beat you to it. And took Paxton Lynch. And the Chiefs the following year are like, fine, we'll take Patrick Mahomes. And what poetic justice it was, the first game Mahomes ever started in the NFL was against Paxton Lynch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't write that.
And I'm pretty sure. I don't want to say it's far wrong. I want to say it's the last game that Lynch ever started in the NFL.
Is he like in the UFL now? Or is am I thinking of it?
Was for like an hour. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Let me see if I'm right with this. I don't want to be the jerk off who's spreading false information.
Don't want to do that.
2017. It's the last time he ever stepped out of an NFL field. That was it.
Patrick Mahomes ending careers.
Patrick Mahomes, first game ever. Paxton Lynch, last game ever.
That is wild.
There's one of these days I will write that for SI. That'll be like a feature story if my editors see me fit to do it. But like, think about the swing, the sliding doors on that.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs had outbid Denver and took Paxton Lynch and the Broncos had been like, all right, we'll take Mahomes. Okay.
Is it the same though? With the environment, it's nature versus nurture at that point.
It's probably not exactly the same, but like I'm going to go ahead and say that Andy wasn't getting Paxton Lynch anywhere near Paxton the home puzzle. It's just saying.
Please.
I think that's safe. So, I mean, that's crazy. Like they missed out on a quarterback they wanted, and we're like, fine, we'll take this guy. And it turned out to be now. Of course, listen. The Chiefs also love Mahomes. They gave up a ton to go get him. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's funny. Like, I forget who traded out of that spot for Paxton Lynch. But, like, what if it had been that team? Be like, all right, whatever. We'll give it to John Dorsey. You know? And by the way, for the postscript to that, the Cowboys drafted Dak Prescott 3 rounds later. Meanwhile, Denver was like, got him! Got him! And here we are now. They look like a bunch of JV high school kids. So that's great.
Traded for a quarterback that was drafted in the first round of who has not panned out. So that's good.
Jumping around their offices, hugging each other, sobbing when they got even a pick swap for Zach.
Holy shit. We got a pick swap.
Douglas did one of those, like he was on the phone with George Payton and put him on like hold for a minute. He's like, Solid, get in here. They're gonna take him and they're gonna pay his bonus. Like I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in Florham Park for when Joe Douglas was like, oh my God, this is gonna happen. Yeah.
It's the money ball in
The Ricardo and Cohen. Yeah, they all
so good. the draft, obviously, tomorrow when we're recording this, Matt. Quickly, before we wrap up, just thoughts on what you think the Chiefs do in your mock draft. You had them trading up, was it 29 for Tyler Guyton?
I did.
Thoughts, has anything changed? That was about a week ago when that mock draft came out. Has anything changed in your thought process since then?
Yeah, that came out last Thursday. So if people haven't read it, go to hell. You've got 6 days, you know, lazy SOB. I haven't even read it. I hate to admit this, when you were saying that they traded up my mock draft, I was like, God, who do I haven't taken? I'm like, who the hell did they take? I was like, Xavier Worthy? All right. I was obviously very invested in my pick there. I will say this, though. I do think they're more likely to take a tackle than I do. That being said, if they make a big move up the board, like if they get like I don't know, 22 and up, I think it's for a receiver. Because I think it would be for like Brian Thomas or like maybe Xavier Worthy, but I think Thomas is more likely. Look, man, nothing's changed. I mean, I still think the tackle is the biggest need on the team right now. I'm not arguing with anybody who says a receiver. That's fine. You can certainly make that case. I guess I'd look at it like this. If Rashee Rice wasn't likely to get suspended, would you argue that that's a bigger need? Like, probably not. And I just wouldn't make an argument based on like what might be a six game, something like that. Like, that being said, those two positions for the Chiefs, it's great. They're loaded. So like you could really go either way. I will say that I think they trade up. How far they trade up, I don't know, but everything here in the league is like the expectation with them is they're going to be aggressive. So I think they'll be aggressive. Plus, knowing Brett Veach, like it's more likely than not, he's probably going to be aggressive.
It's really interesting, too, because it is press conference that Brett Veach does. He held his.
Brett was like, he hadn't slept in 12 days.
Correct. And he also said I can't remember who it was that asked him. It might have been Matt Derrick that asked him about like trying to move up the board. And he was like, well, I would like to move up, but I got to convince ownership is what he was saying. Basically, he's like, well, I always want to move up. But when you start to talk about like trade partners, you're starting to look at teams where they don't have the best a relationship with the Chiefs, right? When you start to look at it. So if they want to go the Miami Dolphins, they would probably pick up the phone at 20, 21, at 22, the Eagles, they'd probably pick up the phone.
Howie Roseman and Brett Veach are really good friends.
There you go. Howie Roseman also loves to make trades. So like I think that he would definitely answer the phone from literally anybody. The Vikings, they would probably pick up the phone. The Cowboys, they probably would. Packers, they're probably going to take like a linebacker, who knows. But then you start to get to like down to like 28, where like they would have to like try to make some moves. The Buffalo Bills, like you're going to have to probably trade up above 28, I think, if you're going to want to do anything, especially receiver-wise. You're going to have to get up above 28. And look, maybe the Cardinals answer the phone. Maybe the Cardinals at 27 or the Packers at 25. We know that the Chiefs tried to trade last year with the Cowboys. When they had their pick. So maybe the Cowboys answer the phone again and maybe they reconsider. But then, like, you had them trading up with the Lions in your mock draft at pick 29 for the
John Dorsey's there.
Correct. So, like, there is a relationship there. They do have that. But, I mean, I do think when you're looking at it, they do have a little bit of a window, I think, where there's a stretch of NFC teams that they could probably call to get ahead of.
Through 27.
So they could call to get ahead of the Bills if the Bills aren't. The Bills are probably going to be trying to move up as well because they've got a big need at wide receiver, bigger than the Chiefs, arguably. So they're going to have to try to figure some stuff out there. But
it's a bigger need than the Chiefs. Right now, who's their number one receiver? Curtis Samuel? They got a bigger need. The Chiefs could do the funniest thing imaginable by moving up and getting like Brian Thomas Jr.
That would be hilarious.
And then the Bills, like that. There's another sliding door, is like the whole McDuffie Yellen thing.
That's true.
Like, what if the Bills have Trent McDuffie? Like, do they win a Super Bowl? Yeah, maybe. But they didn't. So, like, that video the Bills put out remains one of the more hilarious videos. Just a massive cell phone. Like, Brandon Bean did everything but, like, just, like, throw his, like, you know, his five-star binder down. It's like, why? Yeah, but, no, listen, I think they'll be aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think I put out a clip of me talking about the fact that, there are those six NFC teams from 22 to 27. I think, like, that's a huge area of potential, you know, maneuverability for the Chiefs. So, it's going to be interesting. And then, of course, everybody's talking about the big one. Like, could they get up to 9 and get like Roman Dunze, which I don't know how you feel. I feel like that's a lot to go for a receiver. I just do.
It is. And I know a lot of people, Kent said this specifically, that he would
be excited if they did it, but I'd be like, man, that's a lot.
He would have been like the number one receiver in last year's draft. Like he would have been the best receiver. Yes. I don't think like next year he would have been the number one receiver because like Luther Burden exists. And like there's also a lot of really good receivers in next year's draft as well. Man, that's a lot to give up for a guy, for a wide receiver to go all the way up to number nine. I don't feel very comfortable. I think he'd be a phenomenal player. I think he's going to be a great NFL wide receiver. I just don't know if I'm willing to give up. You'd have to give up at least two first round picks this year.
You go through first and second.
Yeah. I think it's too much.
I'm not doing that. Like, now I'd get up to now if Brian Thomas is sitting there and Philly's on the clock.
For sure. Yeah.
And you're giving up, you're swapping first, and you'd probably buy points. Like, if you look at those charts, you're probably giving up your two and getting like their fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be willing to do that. Like, I am a big believer in this draft, the Chiefs. Like, go get like two or three guys who are really making a big difference. Like, if that's possible. Now, obviously, of course, you don't know that's going to happen. But, like, in other words, be aggressive. I'm not saying be so aggressive you're giving up half of your draft picks for next year. Also, you have future picks next year you can use. Like, you have an extra third.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other ways to do this, too. They don't necessarily have to give up a second. But I would think if you're Philadelphia, like, you'd want something like maybe you could do it where you give up this year's third, next year's third.
Right.
You know, something like that. But, hey, man, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see how it all shakes out.
Me either. That's why we just got to wait a day. And if you're listening to this in 2029, when Brett Veach's contract Andy Reid's contract's expired, get out of here. Stop. Why'd you listen all the way to the very end? That's also a really sicko behavior of you. But we appreciate you guys listening all the way to the end. If you're listening to this before the 2024 NFL draft, thank you to everybody. Also, check out all of our platforms. KC Sports Network on YouTube will be live every single day of the draft, every single minute that they are drafting players. We will be live at Holiday Distillery. We thank them for their sponsorship and partnership with this podcast and us at KC Sports Network. That's going to do it for that football show. We'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then.